Good morning. Special welcome. I was going to say warm welcome, but in circumstances, that might just be a hostage to fortune. But you're welcome. Wherever you are in the hall or on Zoom or joining us using the website to download, welcome to you all. I have to say, as far as I understand, when they were digging up the pipes, the gas pipes this week, it discovered that the gas pipes that go to the church come to the hall as well, hence the heaters. So apologies. So to sum up, we're not in the church, the minister's away, and there's a dodgy old pensioner in charge. What else could possibly go wrong? Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep within us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and in our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Let us worship that ever-present God. Now, our first hymn this morning is a new one, but if any of you can remember this little light of mine, it's awfully like that. But I'm going to get the choir to sing the first verse and the chorus, and then you'll stand and we'll get through. But the first verse, you'll be getting it. Second verse, you'll be fine. And by the third verse, you'll think, well, I wish this would stop. Okay, it's, here we are together, now we can begin.
Thank you.
Blessed are those hearts who are pure, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Almighty and most wonderful God, unsearchable and inexhaustible, greater than we can ever imagine, higher than our highest thoughts, enthroned in glory and in splendor, we come to give you our worship, to offer our praise, and to make our confessions, recognizing that our ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Forgive us our misplaced pride and arrogance. We have been full of our own importance, preferring our ways to yours, imagining that we know all there is to know about you, trusting in our own wisdom instead of your guidance, setting ourselves up in your place. But your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Forgive us our narrow vision and closed minds. We have tied you down to our own understanding, closed our hearts to anything which challenges our restricted horizons, losing sight of your greatness, failing to listen to your voice or the voice of others, refusing to believe that others besides ourselves have insights to share. But your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. Almighty and most wonderful God, remind us that you have always more to say, more to reveal, and more to do. Open our minds, open our eyes and our hearts to who and what you are. Remind us that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. And so, fill us again with awe and with wonder, with joy and thanksgiving, praise and worship, as we join together and say the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Right, boys and girls, this is your big moment. Good to see you. We've got some photographs today. I want to have a look and see what you can tell me about them, what they do and what they're wearing. What's the first one? What do you think? Firefighter. Firefighter? How can you tell she's a firefighter?
Because she has a helmet.
She's got the helmet, yeah, and a cool uniform. Yeah, okay. Safety outfit. Right, next one. All the hands went up there. I can't think why.
Teacher?
Yeah, although it's an old photograph. You can see why. There's a blackboard there. He's marking and he's smiling. So it is an old photograph. But it's a teacher. What do teachers do? Hide and cover. Yes.
Help children learn.
Help children learn, yeah.
And help them write.
Help them learn to read and write. They're right. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Can you see? Ah, she was clacking yesterday. I don't know if anybody else saw the game. You know, a rugby player. How can you tell she's a rugby player?
Because she has a cool outfit.
She's got a cool outfit. Yeah.
My brother
and
sister go to rugby.
I don't.
Yeah,
I'm telling Nelson she was playing for Scotland yesterday. You've played for Dundee Eagles.
Yeah, I'm still playing for those.
You're still playing for Dundee Eagles.
Yeah.
Good.
I've already won a trophy.
You won a trophy?
Something
I never managed to do playing rugby. But well done, yeah, it's a rugby player, you can tell by the jersey. Okay, next one. By heavens, we're doing well this morning. Me. Well, could be a doctor.
Maybe a vet.
Oh, right, now there you are, I hadn't thought about a vet.
Or a physio.
Or a physio?
Physios don't look like dentists.
nurse. Well, it was a nurse that came into my mind, but it could be a physio, it could be a vet, it could be, yeah, there's a whole lot of different things.
Everything.
Well, not everything, that's moving a wee bit far. But why do we know that that person's involved? Some can. He's got a stethoscope, yes. Yeah. And he's got a. Yeah, it looks like the outfit.
It looks like my daddy's outfit. Because
looks like your daddy's outfit.
He's a physio.
It's a physio. That's why we got physio then.
And my mummy's a physio.
Oh, goody. Brilliant. Have we got anyone else? We got, ah. Who do you think it is? What are they doing?
I think it's a plumber.
Plumber? Yeah. How can you tell it's a plumber?
Because it's fixing a pipe.
Good, yes.
Yeah,
fixing a pipe. And below a sink. Would that be, what do you think that's up?
I think that's a sink.
And I've just realised, if you look very carefully at the sink, it's running over, isn't it? Is that water that's pouring down?
Yeah, it's water.
So we know it's a plumber. Okay, let's see what we've got next. Ah. Oh, I'll give you. You'll be worn out by the time we finish this.
A shopkeeper.
Yep. Is that what you were going to say? How do we know it's a shop? Well, someone who works in a shop, how can we tell?
Because he's in the shop, he's probably like,
there's some food
running
out. Yeah, it's all the shelves, that's right. And he might help to fill up the shelves and all the food. I can't tell from there which shop it is, but there are numbers available. A couple will be mentioned later on. Okay, so he works in a shop. We can tell. Oh, now, does somebody recognise the... It's Sainsbury's. Other shops are available, and I'll mention them later on. So we've recognised all these people by maybe what they wear, or what they're holding, or have around about them. Let's see what we've got next. Okay, we've seen all these people, and we know what their jobs are. We've been able to tell them. But when people look at us... How do they know that we are followers of Jesus? What could kind of things would help folk know that we follow Jesus?
You follow the biggest person that we know
that
it's Jesus.
You follow the biggest person? Yes. Once again, you've pointed out something obvious that didn't occur to me. That we're following the biggest person, who's Jesus. So we know who are following Jesus. That's interesting. Well, I hadn't really meant following that way. That's very good. Yeah. All right. We're friends of Jesus. Would that go?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll settle with friends of Jesus. How would people know that we were friends of Jesus?
They saw us going to church.
Going to church. Anything else?
Praying.
Praying? Being forgiving. Wow, that's a good one. Anything else? How would our behaviour, maybe at school? I don't mean paying attention, but yeah.
Kindness.
Yeah.
And if you hit people, you must say sorry.
If you hit people, you must say sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, we can work on that one.
That was good.
I like it. I'm not sure that. Yeah, okay, all right. Forgiveness is a great one, and yes. Maybe it'd be better if we hit anyone, we'd say sorry. Do you think of something that we might be able to do, or not do, that we wouldn't need to say sorry like that? Any thoughts? What would be easier than not saying sorry? Why did we need to say sorry? Don't hit them. Yes. Don't hit them. And I know that's hard going sometimes, especially if you've got a brother or a sister. It is really hard. But yes, there's at least one nodding head vigorously here. Yeah, we don't. These are the things that we have to be careful of. That's how people will know that we don't hit people. We try to be friendly. If folk are if we're having problems with people, we can talk it out, okay? And being friendly. and not hitting them. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the chance to follow you and that you have given us Jesus and he can teach us how to behave at all times. Father God, we give you thanks. Amen. Now, the next hymn is another, this one's a better known one. It was one many, many years ago. I remember I was a Sunday school superintendent. We were told not to sing this one because Dundee Presbytery disapproved. But it's hymn 404, Lord of the Dance.
Thank you. If you wish to follow along with this morning's readings, they're projected on the screen beside me. And the first reading is on page 549, Psalm 15, a Psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slurs on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. The second reading is taken from page 1010 of the Pew Bibles, and it's Mark chapter 7, reading from verses 1 to 8. Mark 7, 1 to 8, that which defiles. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have to let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." Amen. May God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. We continue worshipping now by singing hymn 644, "O Jesus, I Have Promised."
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you are the author and giver of all good things. Graft in our hearts the true love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders? Mark chapter 7, verse 5. A number of years ago, during a debate at the General Assembly of the Church, I remember one commissioner stating quite categorically that if in the Kirk, if anything happens for more than 2 years in a row, it becomes a tradition. That may or may not be quite the case, but whichever it is, nothing could be further from what is happening in this morning's gospel reading. The difference between Jesus and the Pharisees, the experts in law, is of tremendous importance. It throws into focus one of the great themes of Mark's gospel. The relevance of the argument was about how Jesus wanted people to live. It is just as relevant today. It's about how Jesus can help us cope with a changing and challenging world. All right, what was the tradition of the elders? And really, was it so important? Originally, for those who followed the Jewish religion, it meant two things. Firstly, the Ten Commandments, and secondly, the Torah. Now, the Torah is the first five books of what we call the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, it's undoubtedly true that the Torah lays down a goodly number of detailed regulations and instructions. However, in the matter of moral questions, what is found is a series of great moral principles. These were for guidance and for help. They were to be studied and applied by individuals, by groups, and indeed by society as a whole, according to their own situation. For many years, this seemed to be both acceptable and practical for the people of Israel. However, 4 or 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, there appeared a class of legal experts, whom we now refer to as scribes. They were not at all happy bunnies. These general moral principles were all far too vague. What was really needed was clarity. They had to be made comprehensive and all-inclusive. No grey areas, no exceptions. In the event, a few venerable legal experts took it upon themselves to interpret the scriptures. Their goal was to make sure that everyone would know exactly how they were to behave in every aspect of their lives. Gradually, the principles were refined and refined until they ran into thousands of rules and regulations. To top it all off, of course, the guidance had to be memorized. Almost nothing was actually written down until about 300 years after this gospel story took place. The net result was that everyday life was no longer governed by principles, but bound up in restrictions and lived in a state of confusion. Mark gives us a good example here of how complicated life became. We read that the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat until they had given their hands a ceremonial washing. Now, this procedure had nothing to do with hygiene, even less had it anything to do with good manners. It was a detailed ritual. It had to be followed to the letter. No deviation was permitted under any circumstances. If there was a mistake or something was missed out, that person would automatically become unclean in the sight of God. The wait to make up for such a grievous error was lengthy and it was complicated. And if that wasn't enough, the cleansing was also believed to be a protection against demonic attacks. So to eat without following the religious procedure was regarded as an invitation to poverty and destruction. This was what Jesus was up against. This was why there was such a huge gulf between the religious authorities and himself.
On one side was a group who saw religion as ritual, as ceremonial, as rules and regulations. And on the other, a man who brought a loving God, a caring God, a forgiving God, a God who desired that that same love and care and forgiveness should be shown to all. Imagine for a moment, if we were to go out of the hall just now and go down to the high street, where outside Scotmid or Spar, we stop folk to ask this question: what kind of behaviour should you expect of a Christian? The answers, hopefully, would include things like kindness, love, gentleness, forgiveness, the kinds of things that should be obvious in all of our lives. But there is one word which I doubt would feature much: anger. Anger. But here is Jesus angry, and rightly so. He quotes Isaiah 29 at verse 13. The Lord says, "These people come near me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught." He calls the Pharisees hypocrites. Now, one of the original Greek meanings of the word hypocrisy was of an actor on stage. So here is Jesus comparing those who are questioning him to being merely strolling players, people whose whole life was spent hiding behind a mask, reciting words but lacking any genuine sincerity. Jesus is pointing a finger at anyone who believes that following God is simply some kind of legal thing, rules and regulations. Pointing a finger at anyone for whom religion is entirely connected to the observation of rituals. Pointing a finger at anyone who thinks that they are acceptable simply because they conform to the social norms of their day. Jesus is clear that something is lacking in their hearts and in their minds. Jesus calls them all hypocrites. Jesus looks at these legalistic believers. Adhering to the rules is for show only. Their hearts and their minds might be full of hate, full of bitterness, full of envy. What might be concealed is prejudice in all its twisted forms. What might lurk there is self-satisfied pride. God may be served meticulously in public, but ignored in the heart. This is what Jesus calls hypocrisy, and he warns us all of that. How often are we aware of someone, or even, God help us, ourselves, displaying the outward signs of a decent Christian life, while gently bubbling below lies something completely different? Church going, Bible reading, careful financial giving, even timetabled prayer, none of them guarantee goodness and mercy. The fundamental question that Jesus asks of us all is this: how do we react to God, and how do we respond to our neighbour? And from Psalm 15 this morning we heard, "Lord, who may dwell on your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" The one whose life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbour and casts no slur on others. Jesus accused the Pharisees of letting go of the commands of God. They were holding fast to traditions which came from the elders of their religion. In other words, ideas, ceremonies, rituals, which come not from God, but from human choice. Now, let's be clear. There are many things that we do in church today which have come down from the past, handed down by sincere and dedicated women and men who through the years have informed what we say and what we do today. Again, almost all of what we believe about the Bible comes from a rich heritage of biblical scholars, we can and should celebrate and rejoice in this. As Amos said in a sermon a few weeks ago, we are building on a legacy of faith, hope, love, and service. Faith, hope, love, and service. That should be a joy and an inspiration for us all. At the same time, however, we must always be aware of another message which Jesus gives us in this reading. He warns us. He warns us to be wary of folk who promise wealth or position or happiness if only we follow them. Jesus warns us to be wary of folk who feed off the emotions and the longings of the vulnerable. Jesus warns us to be wary of people who place human wisdom above the voice of God. People who claim that they have the real answer, well, at least a goodly part of it. And yet, when they are confronted by what God desires, they fail the test. Jesus warns us all to be wary of folk who use a kind of academic brilliance, who debate using clever words. Intellectual cleverness doesn't really cut it as a basis for a good Christian life. True religion can never be the product of a human mind. True religion cannot come from discoveries or inventions. True religion, a good Christian life, comes from listening to that still, small voice. A voice that we hear when we quietly accept that wonderful offer of love. A love which is humble. A love which is caring. A good Christian life comes from putting our hand in the hand of the one who is love. The one who calls us. The one who assures us. The only one who can rightly claim, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Amen. Hymn 535, "Who Would True Valor See?"
Thank you.
come now to our prayers of dedication and prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord, take this money and use it for the work of the church. Take our gifts and use them for the growth of your kingdom. Take our witness and use it for the spread of the gospel. Take our service and use it to make known your love. Accept all that we bring today and use it through your power and for your glory. Gracious God, we pray for those who neither understand nor believe in your love for the world and all its people. For those who, knowingly or not, use their speech and their actions against the desires you have set out for humanity. We pray for those who knowingly flout your will, those who kill, maim and destroy, who exploit others, who ignore the poor and the needy, who add to the total of human suffering. Father, this morning we bring to you those areas of conflict in the world just now. Break the endless cycle of blame and retaliation, of self-justification and escalation. Confront them with your searching presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for those who put their trust in false gods, who know that there is something missing from their lives, but who try to deny it. Deny it by seeking refuge in money, possessions, or the trappings of success. Those who try to deny it by escaping from reality through drugs or alcohol. Those who try to hide from it by following the lure of constant travel. Reach out to them with your searching love. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for those who resist your call, who have heard your voice, recognized your challenge, and glimpsed something of your love, yet who hold out against you, refusing to take that final step of commitment. Challenge them with your searching word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, a moment of silence. A moment to bring our own personal prayers for others. A moment to gather them up to you. You know who and what is in our hearts and how much it means to us. Comfort and strengthen us through your renewing love. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Gracious God, we look forward to a time when you will be all in all, when everything that would spoil your vision for us will be overcome completely, and your love will reign supreme. Help us, we pray, to bring that day closer through the indwelling of your love and an acknowledgement of the living presence of Christ. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is, for those who have hymn books, hymn 515, Soldiers of Christ Arise.
Thank you.
service here is ended and we journey out into the world, as we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore.